Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and thank you for tuning in to our Thursday night programming of Totally Driven Radio. Heh, but why wouldn't you tune into the greatest show heard all around the world? But here we are, Tuesday night. That's right, Tuesday night, Totally Driven Radio, and it is our indie metal music special. So we got two bands lined up for you tonight. That's right, two. And I hope you like it loud, and I hope you like it powerful, because we have a power metal band, and we have a thrash metal band. So get ready. Put on your big boy pants, and get ready to rock it out. Nice, loud, and headbanging. So let's do it. Let's go to Connecticut first. First up is the band. They're called Shallow Graham. We talked to Keith Latorno from Shallow Graham, and let's put it this way: if you like Slayer, if you like Overkill, you're gonna love Shallow Graham. So here's Keith, and then get ready for a bunch of Shallow Graham music after the interview. Here we go. Keith.
Hello. Hey, hello. What's going on, man? Can you hear me?
How you doing? I hear you loud.
I'm hanging in, dude. Hanging in.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, so here we go. We got Keith from the band Shallow Ground, and you guys are a thrash band from Connecticut. Now, right away, I said to myself, like, is there a big thrash and metal scene in Connecticut?
Not really. Not really. There's a decent scene out here. There's some really good bands that are here, you know, that are from Connecticut. You know, yeah, like Stage Warning, Hatebreed, you know, bands like that. So, you know, being a thrash band in Connecticut, we're very few and far between. Let's put it that way.
So, I mean, I guess you guys go out of state a lot to play shows, or?
Oh, yeah, actually, we're going to be, you're in Philly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be in, I think, Scranton. At the Metal Meltdown on the 15th and 16th of April.
Nice.
So it's a little bit north of you guys, but man, there's going to be a lot of good bands from the Pennsylvania area there, and you know we're going to be there, and a few other bands that I know of are going to be out there.
Oh, cool! Very cool. So I mean, you guys have had a little long ride, man. You guys formed in the mid 90s.
Yeah. Yep. Back then we were more. I was in the 80s, early 90s. I was in a pretty well known thrash band, and Tim was in more or less metal band. And both our bands broke up exactly the same time. And Tim was playing in a band with my brother at the time. So my brother said to me, "Hey, why don't we just start something else?" And you know, we had like a, it was more of a progressive kind of thrash edge, but it was more, you know, like a prog kind of style.
Okay. Cool. Now, I saw, too, like, you guys took some time off. So how long did you guys go in that formation of the band until you guys took time off?
We took time off when my daughter was born. I decided I've been playing since I was, like, 13 years old. And when she was born, I said, you know what, it's time to stay home and, you know, be a dad and all that other stuff. And by the way, as soon as she turned 10, I'm like, you know what? I can't handle it anymore. I got to play some more. That's pretty much it, you know? I didn't touch a guitar for like 10 years, man. Every now and then I'd pick one up, but I really didn't play at all. it was just like riding a bike. I got back on, and you know, the sausages kept going as fast as they were before. So I was like, holy crap.
Now, during that time, like, I mean, did you guys consider, or did you consider the band broken up, or did you consider it?
Oh yeah, we were pretty much broken up. You know, my brother went his way, Tim went his way, I went my way. Our drummer Gary went out, and he's working at Big Bang Theory out in California. He wrote some episodes and stuff like that for it. Back in, I'd say, 2008. You know, they'd always invite me. They would always put something together. They used to call it Christmas jams. And we'd go, you know, everybody would say, hey, you know, like 15, 20 people would show up. And, everybody would throw in like three or four cover tunes, and everybody would learn the cover tunes. And you get there, and everybody just change off playing parts and stuff like that. I did that. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, I really want to do this again. So I got a hold of Kurt, the drummer, and I said, you know, I got a bunch of stuff that I've had in the back of my head for years. And so we played like three or four songs. We came that, and I called him back up and said, hey, why don't you come back out? He's like, sure. And then we started playing, and it just took off. You know, wow. I guess we filled that niche that nobody else has around here.
But it seems too, like, since that, I guess, 2009, when you guys started putting this all back together, like, you guys, like, it almost like inspired you to do more, maybe. I mean, did you guys have any recordings with the initial band?
Oh yeah, we actually at Shallow Ground, we have like three or four demos we dipped into some of the old stuff, because we had a singer that sounded just like was like kind of like John Arch from Fates Warning. So me singing and playing ain't happening like that. And I'm more or less, I'll tell you how I think and how I feel, and that's it. And it comes across very straightforward in my vocal style. And the drummer we had then was more kind of Neil Peart-ish, really progressive, really, you know, a lot of off-time stuff. And Kurt's straight up bread and butter thrash. So you take some of the old music and you put the thrash drums to it and rewrite the whole vocal thing. Put a rewrite on the words, and you have a thrash tune, which were before it was a progressive metal tune. So the next CD coming up, which will be where I think we're talking about going back in the studio around January this coming year. Or we already have the full CD lined out and figure out what we're going to do on that. So I'm pretty stoked about that.
Very cool. Yeah, because it seemed like I guess when you guys get back together and all, and then in 2013 you did a demo, or not a demo, a EP, and then you just came back and you did a full length, and then you did another full length. It was just like boom, 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 like the wheels were going, and then all this music started getting recorded. And
yep. Well, it helps when we were like, well, let's put a demo out and see how it goes. So we put the demo out. We got a little interest from a couple record labels, and we signed with Killer Metal Records out of Germany. So then we went in and we recorded The End of Everything, and sent that in, put that one out. And then we went in last January, we went in and recorded with Nicholas Rage from Toxic Holocaust. He actually produced and recorded us this last CD. That's why the drums sound so sick on the CD, because, you know, have a drummer record, that's the way to go. And in thrash, you need a killer drum sound and a killer drummer.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
So.
Now, how about, too, I guess you guys went through another member change.
Yeah, we did.
With a bass player. Yeah.
Yes, we did. Our bass player, we had a bass player, Nick. We called him Nick 2.1, or Nick 1.0. He quit the band for personal reasons, and then we got Nick 2.0. So it's his replacement. Nick 2.0, well, Nick 2.0 is in his early 20s, so he's a lot younger than us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's in his early 20s. So he was kind of like, he was feeling his oats, and he was really into symphonic metal. So he said, you know, he goes, would you guys mind if I left and did a symphonic metal band? We're like, hell no, follow your heart, bud, man. That's what music is.
Yeah.
You got to enjoy what the hell you're doing. If you don't, there's no use doing it. So he left, and as soon as he left, Mark Krzyzewski, our new bass player, was like, we put it out there that Nick is leaving, blah, 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 sorry. The next day, Mark was like, hey, can I try out? So we gave him the tunes. Man, this dude is solid. So he joined us, I think it was September or October last year. It might have been August. I don't know. I can't keep – it goes by so fast. I can't keep it.
But it seems like that inspires you guys, though. When you go through member changes and you get inspired where it doesn't take you back at all.
Well, there's a major thing. Well, you know what? I'll say it right now. You'll get scooped. There'll be an announcement tomorrow anyways. Our guitarist, Tim, is actually leaving. He needs to regroup. That's how it's got to be, you know. There's no hard feelings. There's no nothing. He's going to be helping the band out as it is anyways. He's going to be doing online stuff like that. It's just his heart's not into, you know, dragging the equipment all over the world anymore. So, you know, which is cool.
Right.
So we're actually going at the show up in Scranton, Pittsfield, or wherever that is. We're going up there doing that as a three-piece.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we actually played a gig last year in New Hampshire as a three-piece, and we were actually the tightest sounding we have been in years. So it should be interesting. It'll be okay.
You know? Now, would you ever consider staying a three-piece? Or you like that?
No, I when I write stuff, I write it for two guitars. I like the sound of two guitars. It's so you get more versatile. You know, the tough thing is going to be find somebody who can play leads as well as Tim does.
And
his leads are the ones when you listen, you go, oof, they're a lot of feeling to it. Mine, I just shred. His are, you know, there's a lot to it when he's playing.
Now, he was an original member with you, correct?
Right. Yep. That's what makes it so tough that he's you know, he's hanging it up for a while. You
right.
never know. He might be back in a few years. You just don't know him, you know. Just right now, he just needs to clear his head. So you got an exclusive. It's not, I'm probably not even supposed to talk about this, but, you know.
Well, you're going to luck out because it's not going to be airing until next Tuesday, so.
Oh, excellent. I was like worried. I was going to say, hey, is this live?
We're taping, so you're good.
All right, good. So yeah, tomorrow we're all meeting up, and he's gonna make his announcement tomorrow. But there's no hard feelings.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool though. He's staying on in some capacity, helping out behind the scenes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Even if he has like a thrashy tune or something, and he says, hey, and, you know, he calls me up, Keith, check this out. I'll be like, yeah, okay. You know, I'll use it. You know, he's still part of the band. He was a big part of this band, and he's still going to be a big part of the band. Just he might not be out front, you know what I mean? He might not be playing.
Right. That's cool, though. That's very cool. That's something rare that you see.
What's that?
That's something rare that you see.
Oh, when members leave and stuff, and you're still cool with everybody?
Yeah.
You know, I've been doing this since the 80s, and... You know, everybody has lives, everybody has things going on, and somebody that you might meet every day, you're like, oh man, they got it together. Behind the scenes, they might not. You know, everybody, you know, like the band that when you become part of our band, or even a friend or another band that knows us, you know, we treat everybody with respect and we stay friends with everybody because, you know, life's too short to be a douche.
Absolutely.
You know, that's just the way to look at it.
That is a true eternal quote that Confucius couldn't even say.
Yeah. Life's too short to be a douche.
There you go.
You know what? I think I might write a song called Life's Too Short to Be a Douche now.
Please.
Look for that on the next CD.
Now, you mentioned earlier, one of the biggest reasons was you broke up the band or quit music for a while was the birth of your daughter. And now that she's 10 years old, you've gotten back in the swing of things and all. What does she think of daddy being this thrash metal?
She's a metalhead. She, believe it or not, she's 17 right now, going on 18, and she's going to college.
Okay.
She's accepted to UConn. Yes. So, but yeah, she likes it. You know, it's funny. She goes to the thrash shows, and you know, she gets to meet like all the thrashers that I grew up. You know,
right?
Going, oh my God! You know, we played with Onslaught. She was there, like, hey, what's going on? You know, we're BS with Nigel for a while. Stuff like that, you know. She I only saw her get starstruck once, and that was with Kitty. You know, she was kind of like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, but she was like 11 or 12 at the time. She's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I'm like, I relax, she's cool. You know,
that's awesome. That's good stuff.
Yeah, but know, I think her favorite thrash band is Overkill. And her second favorite is Creator. And she got to see both of them with me at the Palladium, so up in Worcester.
Oh, nice.
So she was, like, ecstatic.
That's awesome. So, Alicia, great story. You got this wild cover art where it's you guys playing, and then it's got, like, the pit going crazy, and there's all these people in it. I was wondering, was there anybody, like, that we should know in those drawings?
Yeah, you know what? All those drawings are from Noel. Noel did our artwork, and he is in Spain. And we gave him the concept, and he ran with it. But if you look really closely, there's like our tribute to Toxic Holocaust is on there. You got a little back patch for Toxic Holocaust because of our relationship with Nick. There's different radio stations and whatnot you'll see around that have helped us out in the past and have done stuff, and we played shows for them to, like, you know, on different t-shirts and different little rockers and little things. You look around, you'll see a whole bunch of weird stuff on there. There's even an alien in there somewhere, I think.
Now, do you guys have that on vinyl? Because that's one of them albums that you really need to, like, sit and study the album cover.
Well, you know what? That is completely up to the record label. I'm actually talking to him about doing, like, a split, like having us on one half and another band on another. He's just got to figure out, you know, if he wants to do it in what band. Because doing vinyl is expensive.
Yeah,
and being on the record label, our label's in Germany, it would have to be an import, and he'd have to import it to us and everything else. But yeah, I would kill to have like, you know, that on vinyl. We recorded a mix for CD, vinyl, and for iTunes.
Oh,
we did
cool.
We did three different masters on it, so each one could have the best sound it could possibly have.
Cool. Now, being that the fact that you guys are signed to a label in Germany, any chances of you guys going over there?
Oh, we get asked all the time. I'm like, believe it or not, I'm in a friggin' cemetery, and I'm hiding. Well, I'm not really hiding. I'm taking my coffee break. I'm right next to my job site, but I'm waiting for my foreman to show up, so I have to go to work, you know?
Right.
I actually took a late break to talk to you.
Wow.
So yeah, we're all up to our eyeballs in stuff. You know what I mean? We don't do a lot of touring, but you know, if the right festival or something else was to come up, we'd jump on a plane, fly over there, do it, fly back. You know,
right.
Stuff like that. It's like a prolonged tour. We were invited to go out with Hellstar, and we were invited to go out with Vicious Rumors a couple years back. 2 years in a row, and it was like you'd have to confirm for 60 dates, and 60-day tour in Europe, roughly it's going to be around 16 grand for four people. When you go over to Europe, you're going to have to pay for your plane fare. You got to chip in for the bus, your hotels, your food, but so it's basically like an expensive vacation, and you can't bring our merch from here, so you have to get merch made there. You know what I mean? And have it each country, you got to have some stamp for the merch or something like that. I don't know how it really works. But it's nice, you know, with us being with Randall Amps, just, you know, call up and say, hey, you know, I'm going to need something for Europe, or I'm going to need something for here. Could you have a rig ready for me? And they say, sure. So that's what's nice about having Randall. And I got to give a shout out to Joe D over at Randall Amps, and I got to give a shout out to Jim at Strictly 7 Guitars, because I just signed an endorsement deal with Strictly 7 Guitars. And
oh,
nice guitars, a great company, really good company, easy to deal with, great instruments. You know, if anybody goes to NAMM, you can see them at NAMM. They're there every year. And if you look up online, just punch in S7G and Strictly 7 Guitars will pop up. They make some pretty sick guitars.
Cool, very cool.
Here's my promotional half.
There you go. So what's the plans now for the rest of 2016 for you guys?
Oh, well, replace Tim is priority one, but we're going to keep gigging. We're going to keep playing whether we have a guitar player, second guitarist or not. I can handle anything that comes along. I'm 100% sure of. Vocal-wise, I got it. You know, guitar-wise, I have it. Bass player is solid as anything. Drummer is solid, so it's really not a big deal until we replace them. It's just going to be a little strange not having solo, you know, cutting songs a little short, not having solos where people expect solos to be.
Right.
You know, just I always write these like really sappy rhythm solos for Tim to play over. You know, like really mellow guitar, but then he gets to play his really feeling leads over it. So the guy who's gonna step in, or whoever steps in for him, is going to have to know how to play. So
it's gonna be interesting.
So, it's all good.
It's all good.
But yeah, 2016, I think we have three songs already set aside for the next CD, and we have, I think I have six or seven others in the works, and then we'll just weed through what we're going to put on and what we're not going to put on.
Cool. And how about, actually, I want you to pick three songs for me to play along with this interview.
Oh, okay. You got the CD, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I would say Once Again, Con, and then, I'm torn. Once Again, Con, and Human Flame.
Cool, got it. And that's besides your promotional plugs for your endorsements, how about you guys get all the plugs out there so everybody can find you?
Okay, well, we are at Shallow Ground. So it's shallow-ground.com. You can find us. You can get our CD. Please get our CD. That's the only way we actually, you know, make a little bit of cash to get out there and do things. You know, that pays for gas, that pays for instruments, it pays for everything. So it's www.shallow-ground.com. So it's a little shallow with a little minus sign for the dash, and then ground.com. Or you can hit us up at Facebook, which is, you know, just your Facebook /shallow ground. And you should be able to get a hold of us easily. And if you do get a CD, or if you guys do order a CD from us, my suggestion is when you do, just say, hey, you know, include some pics, include, you know, whatever. We are very easy at doing that, you know, giving guitar pics out or whatever. We, you know, if they need a promotional for something, we're always happy to help our fans.
Very cool. Nice. So you make it like Christmas for people when they order a CD.
Oh yeah. Well, if they ask for it, they get it.
There you go.
Very simple.
Cool. Keith, this has been awesome. Yeah, like I said, Tuesday night we'll be airing this, and yeah, I'll send you all the info on email, Facebook, etc.
Okay, well, I hope you come up to Metal Meltdown. We could BS for a little bit over a beer.
That sounds very inviting.
Yeah, because a lot of people are. It's the third year of the fest. If you look on Facebook, it's northeastern Pennsylvania Metal Meltdown Festival 3, I believe.
Okay.
So if you do a search on Metal Meltdown in Pennsylvania, you'll find it. And it's well worth it. There's a lot of great bands on the bill. I mean, last year was just, I didn't miss any of it because it was all good.
Nice. That's awesome. Cool. Yeah, I'm going to check that out.
and there'll be other DJs and everything like that. So you, if you want, you could always, you know, run up your banner and hang out with everybody.
Absolutely. Go bang head and drink beer and do some network.
Enjoy some good music, yeah?
Absolutely. Cool. All right, Keith. Well, I guess sadly I have to let you go back to work then.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
All right, man.
I appreciate it very much, and hopefully, we'll see you up there on the 16th, and we'll BS more then. If you ever need us for anything else, you know how to get a hold of us.
Cool. Thanks so much, man.
Excellent. Hey, man. Have a good night. Thanks, everybody.
You too.
Right, bye.
Bye.
We are not so sweet. You'll walk it with open mind, open arms, and open legs. For this isn't it just a certain metals? In time, research will tell just what you naturally means. You will be free now, as you will die. Screaming, torture, persecution, and pain, agony rips through your veins. That's so sweet. You'll welcome it with open mind, open arms, and open legs. Fire, the cause of this eternal destruction. You are going to die. Flame within, scream out with horror. You are going to die in flames.
Enjoying it. That was Keith Letourneau and the band Shallow Ground. Killer band. Killer, killer, killer. So if you're out in the Connecticut area, check them out. Or you never know if they come to a city or a town or a club near you. Let's see. All right, so this is the halfway point of the show, so it's time. Let's take our commercial break. Don't go away. Check out our sponsors and stay tuned for the second half of the show where we're going up to the New York, North Jersey area. And we're going to talk to Angelica Vargas, the Valkyrie herself, from Flames of Fury. So stay tuned.
This is AC Slade, and you are listening to Totally Driven Radio.
Attention sports fans, collectors, hobbyists, and autograph seekers. Are you looking for the best in sports cards and collectibles? The only name you need to know is Carl's. That's right, Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA not only has the best collection of sports memorabilia, cards, game, used merchandise, and autograph signings with top professional athletes, he also does custom framing too. Go to carlscards.com or like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Carl's Cards. That's Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. Remember, Carl's, the only and best name in sports cards and collectibles.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza, $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin on the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your ghoul friend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Trash City Beads, the great bead store with the weird name. Selling beads and findings for over 25 years. Visit us online at TrashCity.com. Like us on Facebook at Trash City Beads. Unique beads, charms, crystals, and findings from all over the world at wholesale prices. No store, no showroom. We are online only. Visit us at TrashCity.com. Trash City Beads is your online source for the best beads on the planet. Remember the name, Trash City Beads.
Hey everybody, this is Nick Wilkinson from TV Nation and Totally Driven Radio and Entertainment. Sadly, each year, approximately 3.6 million children become victims of child abuse. My latest ebook, Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect, explores the long-lasting effects abuse can have on victims. Explore life after the abuse ends and how we cope with the tragedies of the past. Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect is available on Kindle for only 99 cents. And don't forget to check out my website, actingnotreacting.com, a common sense approach to teens in crisis. Let's work together and make this world a better place. And remember, stay driven.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromHolmes.
Of Ex-Wives of Rock.
This is Chris Holmes.
Hey, this is Ron Keel, the Metal Cowboy.
Hey, everyone, this is Todd LaTorre from Queensryche.
This is Lita Ford, and you are listening to Totally Driven Radio. Kiss me deadly, baby.
All right, welcome back to Totally Driven Radio. Bay Ragney here, and it's time for the second half of the show. That's right. It's time to go and check out
and listen to as I talk to Ms. Angelica Vargas from Flames of Fury. Here we go. Is this the Valkyrie herself, Miss Angelica Vargas?
Yes, it is. Bay Ragney, how are you doing?
That's me. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. So where did the nickname the Valkyrie come from?
Well, the Valkyrie was kind of an idea I was playing around with. I mean, my name is Angelica. I was born with that name. But, you know, angels are great and all. You got, like, the idea of angels and demons. But, you know, I had the V in my last name, Vargas. And I thought to myself, well, you know, Valkyries are just so freaking cool. And I have a fascination with Nordic folklore. So somewhere along the lines, I can't remember exactly where. I was at a show and, like, Flight of the Valkyries was playing. And I just, like, felt this association with it. So Angelica Valkyrie, I was like, all right, this works. For my kind of, like, my... I don't need to say the word character because I am very much myself on stage, but it is kind of a side of me, like a stronger side of me that I like to like fulfill and describe. So I like to call Valkyrie that particular aspect of my myself, my personality.
It's kind of like, not along the line, I guess you can say like a character that, I mean, kind of gives you the help to escape more on stage too.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, there definitely is a character within Flames of Fury. I mean, I'm on stage wearing a corset and have a dagger and a lot of, you know, it's power metal. It's really in your face, you know, ready to take it to the limit and kick some ass. So there is definitely like a character of this like warrior, you know, this very noble chick that's going on stage, but she still has, you know, she takes no prisoners. So yeah, in a way she is kind of a character.
Cool. Now, how did the band come together? I saw... It was you and I guess the guitar player. I'm sorry, what's his name?
Oh, Jason Perez.
Yes.
That would be
you guys basically started this whole thing.
Yeah, the two of us actually started this back in, how long ago was that? Oh my God, it was 2009, and we came together. It was like the springtime, and I was in another project, and I found out about him, and I heard a bunch of his stuff, like, online. At the time, MySpace was still big. Although Facebook was, like, active, but, you know, bands weren't really on Facebook yet. So I heard a bunch of his stuff, and, you know, I contacted him, you know, see if he had any projects he wanted to, you know, work on or whatever. He sent me a song, and I sang along to the song. We were like, hey, why don't we write some songs? And so that's kind of where Flames of Fury was born. We just started writing some random stuff that we really liked. Initially, we were thinking of going more of a rock theme, but, like, both of us love metal. Like, we're really interested in heavy, melodic power metal. So we decided, fuck it.
Right.
Let's do a heavy, melodic power metal band. And, like, all of our songs just kind of went naturally in that direction. And it's been going that way ever since.
That's awesome. Now, and it seems like you guys, I mean, took a little bit of time, too, to like, get songs together and all, and then, like, search for the rest of the band.
Oh, yeah, we're very methodical. I mean, a lot of bands are kind of just like, oh, okay, oh, we wrote three songs, let's do a show. No, we don't work that way. I mean, like, we very much, like, we figured, okay, let's write, like, a decent amount of songs to create a set list so we could actually do a full show before we start doing anything. And honestly, just the songwriting process is a lot of fun. And, you know, it's kind of a release, if you will, from your humdrum lives and, you know, all that other shit. And so we started writing all these songs, and I think we came up with like 8 or 9 songs within like a 7 or 8 month time frame. And then we decided, okay, now we got to find people that can play this shit. Easier said than done. Because, I mean, Jay is awesome. I mean, you've heard his guitar parts and all that stuff. So we have to find another guitarist that can complement him. And the same goes for the bass. And then there's the drum. I mean, we got, like, blast beats. We got double bass up the wazoo. I mean, we got a lot of crazy stuff going on with the drums. I think the drums are probably the most challenging. It was really hard to find a good drummer. And our first drummer was Jimmy Peruta, and he comes from more of, like, a Rush and Dream Theater. He's more of a progressive guy. And
okay.
He naturally was like, oh, this is easy. No problem. So it kind of worked out really well. Now we have Mark Capolupo, and he also has that progressive that kind of like vibe, but not as much. Like he's really into heavy metal. He's into a lot of speed metal, and you know. But in both instances, the drums just work so naturally. They're just able to play it out like you know it's nothing.
Angelica, hang on 1 second. I'm sorry.
Sure, I'm holding. Should I do a song?
Actually doing my real job too while doing this.
Oh wow, that's crazy. That's a tough balance, man. You know, but I hear you.
Yep.
That's cool. That's
so
awesome.
So all right, so yeah, I mean that's what I was thinking too. Like if you guys had everything like written and ready to start filling them holes, I'm thinking to myself it was probably even harder to do it that way than to find a bunch of players and put it together yourselves.
Well, yes and no, because, like, oh, you can do, yes, it is faster if you just take, like five to five people in the band and say, okay, now we're going to write a song together all at once. But here's the thing, what I always see, like, you get five people in the room, and it's like, okay, what do you want to do? Oh, I don't know. What do you want to do? Oh, I don't know. What do you want to
right.
do? And it's like, and then that goes around in a circle. Maybe you have two or three people like, well, I want this. Oh, well, no, I want this. Oh, no, I want this. And you got this bullshit going on, too. So for us, we figured it's much natural to say, okay, we write the songs, we're the band leaders, we know exactly what we want. We let other people, you know, obviously put their input and put their spin on the song, but ultimately, you know, we're writing the music, we know exactly what we're looking for, and to go in that direction as opposed to, you know, everybody sitting around the table trying to figure out, you know, with their, you know, thumbs up their asses and not knowing what the hell's going on. I mean, I've experienced that quite a few times in my life. Teenager, and, like, you know, going on my early 20s and stuff. And, like, you know, you try to get, like, three or four people in the room and everybody's kind of looking at each other, like, scratching their heads, like, they don't know what to do. Like, I tried to,
right.
I tried to have, a long time ago, I tried to have, like, an all-girl metal band. And
okay.
We all had a very different, like, we were all very good at what we did. My friend, she played guitar and she does, like, the growling vocals. And then I have another girl, she does drums. And then I was singing. And the three of us sitting there, okay, we just need two more girls, no problem. One of us wanted to do black metal. One of us wanted to do power symphonic metal. That would be me. Another one of us wanted to do more rock punk. And it was just like, this ain't working. Because you have all these people,
right.
Like everybody has a set idea of what they want, you know, and it, you know, everybody wants to do their own thing. It's just like, at that point, it's stalemate. It's like, okay, we got no band. Well, all three of us will just start our own band and do our own thing. You know, but
wow.
You have to have a set idea. That's the thing. You got to have a goal, and you have to have a drive to move it forward. That's my big thing. If you don't have any drive, you can't go anywhere. You're dead in the water.
Absolutely.
But, you know, you have to have a drive, but you have to have a goal set in mind to get you there. You know, if you have no goal, it's just chaos.
That, absolutely right.
Yeah, man.
That's why, like, we named the show Totally Driven. That's where it all came from. You have to be driven to be able to do all this stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, man, this is the perfect greatest, a totally driven radio. We are totally driven to play with Gary.
That's awesome. So now, let me see if I got this right, because I never heard of it. There is a female-fronted metal festival?
I know what you're talking about. Sorry, I'm drinking a Guinness at the same time I'm talking to you. But, yes, the Flight of the Valkyries Festival. It happens, it was happening, I believe, once a year, but now it's a little more sporadic. But, yeah, it's the only female-fronted metal festival in the United States, and it happens in Baltimore. I think the first one was in Ohio, and that's Bobby Dickerson. She kind of, like, took it and rolled with it and started contacting more and more bands, and she's consistently doing the Flight of the Valkyries festivals in Baltimore. And what it is it's all female-fronted metal bands, and they're doing different styles of metal. I mean, I saw, like, folk metal bands. I saw one of our friends, The Sound of Thunder, they're more a heavy metal band. Mind Maze, they have a kind of a progressive sound to them. And, you know, it has, like, all these different bands, but they all have female singers, and they're all metal. And I think that's really, really cool to have everybody together. And I always
awesome.
Tell everybody this, but, you know, I'm going to continue saying it until I'm blue in the face, that when you put a bunch of women together, especially female-fronted bands together, all of the bands do very well. I mean, hands down, anytime we perform with another female-fronted band, we've opened for Doro twice. We played with Amaranth, which has a lead ride. She's one of the three singers in that band. We played with the Sound Thunder in my maze during the book releasing of Not Just Tits in a Corset, Celebrating Women in Metal. A friend of mine wrote this book and, you know, celebrating all the women within metal. And all three of us were on the show. And in every instance, I could say we all did very well. I mean, we all, you know, did a great show. Everybody turned out. All the fans loved it. All of our fans loved their music. All of their fans loved our music. And it just works out extremely well. I mean, I cannot say enough how much, especially women, especially if you're a woman in a metal band, I don't care if you're playing the bass guitar or you're playing the drum, you need to talk to your sisters of metal and join forces with them. It is so important. It is so freaking important. Yeah.
Now, how about that, too? That's what I wanted to ask you, was being a female in a metal band, and it's becoming more and more, and honestly, I truly think, like, the females are taking over metal. How does it feel to be a female now in the metal business?
Well, it feels good. I mean, I love metal. I mean, just like anybody else, I guess. I don't know what it's like to be a guy, but, you know, I like metal too. So I guess it doesn't really make too much of a difference. But to be honest with you, females taking over, I kind of disagree slightly. And the reason is this. With the way, you know, if you go back to like the 70s and the 80s, and, you know, you have like if you wanted to record an album, you have to go to a studio. You have to go through this whole process. You can't just record an album from your home computer. I mean, the concept of a home computer back then was like, wow, are you rich or something? What's up with you? You know, so
it
wasn't as easy. Bands, you know, just to get out there, to get the word out there, was much more difficult than it is now. So now there are more female metal bands, but I would argue there are more metal bands as a whole. Because of the ability to have, you know, to be able to access so many computers, your phone, anything, and to be able to record music, it's so easy now. I mean, all you need is a laptop and some basic equipment, and you could record a full album if you really want to, you know. But, yeah, there's so many, and it's percentage-wise, metal bands as a whole has increased exponentially, or at least the awareness of all these metal bands as a whole has increased exponentially. And so therefore the percentage of women in metal is probably about the same as it was in the 70s or the 80s, maybe a little bit more. I would have to do more research on that. I'm really big on research and like numbers and crap like that. I always say the numbers don't lie. Although recently somebody else told me a quote, it's called figures don't lie, liars figure. So, you know, there are different ways to interpret the data. That's essentially what that means. But the numbers themselves do not lie. So, but you'd have to really look into and see how many bands were out there and, you know, the ones that are documented. And then the ones that are documented through Facebook, through, you know, MySpace, that, you know, if they still had a MySpace or whatever, you know, that might have, like, you know, moved on or who knows what. And, you know, find them online and find out exactly what the percentage of them had female members, had female singers. You can go so many different ways with it. It's crazy. But I would say it's still about the same. And for that reason, I would say it's so important that women reach out to each other. And it's so easy to reach out to each other. There's really no fucking excuse at this point. You know, you might as well. All you got to do is do a Google search and put female fronted metal. And you find all these women out there. There's this one girl, I'm sure you know her, Veronica Freeman. So Benedictum, mm-hmm. She is so awesome. I mean, every once in a while I'll reach out to her, have a chat on Facebook and stuff, and she's, you know, a freaking sweetheart, you know. And most of us are very willing to work with one another in that respect within the metal scene.
That's awesome. I should put it this way. Maybe not maybe more of the females taking over, but how about maybe gaining respect where it's not just being a sex symbol anymore. It's where there's actual, the guys are giving respect to the females now.
That is true. I would say that's definitely the case. That, you know, when you have a female singer or a female, you know, guitarist, female bassist, whatever, you know, and they're legitimately, you know, they're good. They gain respect. And I would say that, you know, as a whole, I mean, I've made some of the best friends and, you know, met some of the coolest people because, you know, there's not too many people, not as many women that are even interested in metal. I don't know why. I can't figure it out myself. But for whatever the reason, they're not interested in it. And so when you have a woman that's interested in metal and is interested in playing metal and writing metal, yeah, you're definitely going to get some street cred and respect. So long as you're good, of course. But that's
right.
That goes with any gender, really, anybody. You know, if you suck, you suck. Don't suck. That's rule number one. Don't suck.
Oh, too funny.
But, yeah, for sure. We definitely get a lot of respect. I mean, you know, everybody asks me, how is it, you know, within the metal scene? I'm like, you know, people are really freaking nice, surprisingly. Yeah, we're metalheads. Yeah, we mosh and we sometimes beat the shit out of each other for shits and giggles, but then we'll have a couple of Guinnesses afterwards. I mean, no big deal.
It's all good fun.
Mm-hmm. Fuck yeah.
Now, you guys only have the one release out, the EP?
Right now, yes. We have the one release. It's a 5-song EP. And the 5-song EP just gives you an idea of, like, it's a taste of what we're capable of. It's kind of 5 very different songs, from something that's like super anthemic power metal, something that's more of a groove, to more like a melodic, like I Burn is very emoting, and then you go over to like No Mercy and it's like straight up headbanging time to mosh, you know, that's No Mercy.
Right.
And, you know, End of the Road, it's very like, you know, kind of has like almost a rock theme to it. So, like, all 5 songs are very different. They were selected for that reason, because they're so different from each other. But we put them in there just to compliment each other and just to give people an idea, like, hey, this is what we're about. So if you like this, you need to stay tuned and figure out how you can get our album, which is Firestarter, which is coming out soon.
Cool. Now, when's that coming out?
Yes, that is still in the works. It's coming out soon. I want to say within the next 1 to 2 months, but we don't have a specific date just yet. But I will get in touch with you, and I'll get in touch with everybody, all my fans, and let them know as soon as it's ready. Because we're very particular. We want to make sure everything is perfect. It took us a while just to make the 5-song EP and make sure that sounded as the best that we could get out there and, you know, as good as possible before we sent it out. So this is kind of like, you know, it's like a baby, but not really. We want to make sure everything is perfect before we send it out there.
Right. Now, how about any shows coming up? Or
right now, literally all of our work has been dedicated toward the album. So what we have been doing, though, we have a music video coming out. We do have a single going to be coming out pretty soon. I will tell you, it is a single. It's called I'm Alive. It's one of the songs off of the album. And we do have a video and a lyric video coming out for that song very soon. So please stay tuned. You'll hear about that one very, very soon.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. So you guys got the single coming out, video coming out. And
mm-hmm.
now is the new is going to be a full length Firestarter or another EP or?
Yes, it is a full length album. It's all original songs and it's a full length album for sure.
Cool. So you got that coming mm-hmm. up, and then hopefully some shows in 2016.
Yes. Yeah. We're working right now on a tour to go along with the album. So we're just trying to get everything together, all the pieces together. So that we've been very, very busy just, you know, figuring out logistics and, you know, who we're playing with and stuff like that. But, yeah, that's both of them are going to come out around the same time. We'll figure out. We'll let you guys know
cool.
when we're going to be touring and when we're going to be actively doing shows. Me, myself, I've been hosting shows in my area. I live in Queens, so Queens,
okay.
New York. And every once in a while, I get asked to host a metal show. And I'm like, yeah, sure, I'm down for that. I did that about a month ago. And just introducing the bands and bullshitting on stage. And honestly, I had a blast doing that. And, yeah, you'll be seeing me actively within New York City metal scene.
Cool. Now, how about Philly? Like, I mean, we're not too far. When are you guys coming to Philly?
That is a good question. You know, we've never been to Philly. And we should. Been to Baltimore. So why not, right?
Yeah,
but
you skipped right over. Well, you went to Baltimore. Why not Philly?
Well, it was a Flight of the Valkyries festival. It was kind of a badass festival. But, yeah, we should definitely go to Philly. So I would see about touring. Maybe we can make a pit stop in the Philadelphia area. I know there's a lot of diehard metal fans out there, and a few of them reach out to me on Facebook. So, but, yeah, definitely. Philly's on the list. Chicago's on the list. Quite a few places. Even people in California have been reaching out to me. I'm like, oh, my God, how the hell are we going to get to California? But that would be so awesome if we could, you know. Definitely.
Well, how about that? I mean, I saw, like, you guys have been getting, from the debut EP, like, all around the world, people are, you know, giving you praise. They're loving it. So what's it like when you hear from somebody from Japan or another country?
Well, at first I'm thinking to myself, I don't know if I understand what you're saying. But then the second time I was like, oh, metal. Okay, metal. I understand that language. The language of metal is a universal language. So that I totally get. But, yeah, I got to say, it is really amazing when people reach out to me from, like, France and Belgium and Germany. And, you know, people are asking, like, about the album all the way in Japan. And they're like, well, okay, sure. And we actually, when we first released the EP, I sent, like, I don't know how many copies, like 300 copies or something. That's just one to Japan that really wanted us. So like, okay, sure. We're down for sure. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was really fun. There's so many people out in Japan that are interested in us. I'm like, that's cool.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So, all right, so where can everybody find you and find the band in the world of social media?
Sure. Well, Facebook seems to be reigning supreme right now, so facebook.com/flamesoffury if you're looking for us on Facebook. Otherwise, you can check us out on our website, www.flamesoffury.com.
Nice. Cool. Well, this has been a lot of fun. And, you guys are going to come back on when the single's ready to roll and the video and all that and get that out there and play for everybody.
Absolutely, absolutely, babe. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to Totally Driven Radio. You guys are awesome.
So are you. And here, I'm going to make you make a choice now. You got to choose three songs out of your five songs.
Three songs out of five. Well, a lot of my fans and my friends really like I Burn, so I'll choose that one. We did do a music video for No Mercy, so I'll choose that one. And I guess I'll throw in Take It to the Limit to get some good old-fashioned power metal in the mix, too. So Take It to the Limit, I Burn, and No Mercy.
There you go. Cool. That's what we're going to play for everybody then.
That's perfect. Babe, thank you so much. I really appreciate
you. You're
being
welcome.
On the show.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Yeah, man. All right. Take care.
All right. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
And army of hell. I long to capture its secrets and keep them.
get away with it. Well, go ahead. Try your worst. I'll be waiting.
All right, welcome back to Children Radio. And there you go, Flames of Fury, Angelica Vargas, with, once again, Khan and the Flame, the Human Flame. There you go. So, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for checking us out. We're here almost every Tuesday night doing indie music specials. We're here every Thursday night doing our normal show. Actually, this Thursday we have a special Tilly Jim Radio Rocks, because usually on Saturday nights I do that show, and I couldn't do it this past Saturday night because I was just backed up with a lot of stuff, and I had to push it to Thursday. So this Thursday will be a special Tilly Jim Radio Rocks, and we have an interview with Kurt Vanderhoof from Metal Church. So check that out. And also stay tuned, listen to our plugs, because my good friend Nick, or my co-host on Tilly Jim Radio, he's going to tell you right now about all the other shows on the network. So remember, everybody, stay tuned and stay driven. See ya.
Did you know that Totally Driven Entertainment has tons of different podcasts? As a matter of fact, we have podcasts on every day of the week, with topics ranging from politics all the way to pro wrestling and total entertainment. On Monday nights, you have two amazing shows. At 6 p.m., you have Hard Talk with Big Daddy and Big Booty Trudy. And at 11 p.m., we have the new show,
8 Flights Up.
So you guys definitely going to want to check out those two. On Tuesday at noon, we have Pro Wrestling Now with Mike Ferreira, where Mike gives us a rundown of everything in the world of professional wrestling this week. Moving into midweek, we have three shows that are totally different and totally driven. At 9:30 a.m. on Wednesday, Hump Day, we have the Coco and Wee Wee Show. That brings us to Thursday. Thank God it's Thursday, because at 5 p.m., we have Pro Wrestling Now with Mike Ferreira, where he wraps up the end of the week and talks a little bit about SmackDown, NXT, and some Japanese wrestling. Thursday night at 8 p.m., the show that started it all, Totally Driven Radio, with your hosts, Bay Ragney and Nick Wilkinson. This show has a little bit for everyone. There's celebrity gossip, interviews, Hollywood reporters, Dancing with the Stars moments, metal, mayhem, and moondog. Friday nights at 8 p.m., Uncle Shawnee's Playground is guaranteed to make somebody mad and somebody cry. At 10 p.m. on Friday night, we have the LAW Retro Wrestling Hour, where we talk all about the golden age of wrestling and what it was like back then to see amazing men do amazing things. Hey, and some of our best programming is on the weekends. On Saturday at 11 a.m., you can listen to the Mojo Sports Show and talk all about sports with Mr. Mojo. At 9 p.m. that night, Bay Ragney does Totally Driven Radio Rocks, where he features a different kind of music, different songs, different eras, just whatever's on his mind that week when it comes to music. Sunday Funday at 10 a.m., start your weekend off with a Big Weenie. The Big Weenie Castanini Show is on every week, and it's sure to please. And end the week with the Nerd Herd at 9 p.m. on Sunday nights. You can join the TV Nation, and you can talk all about the latest in TV, comics, and comic book movies. Bay's going to tell you what he's been watching. We're going to talk about our Men in Tights. And finally, we're going to do our top five list each and every week. It's a different list. Hey, and if you're not busy listening to your new favorite podcast, check out some of our social media pages. You can find us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Periscope, and more. Totally Driven Radio. Get driven. Stay driven.